In the opening chapter of Saving Troy, a firefighter who moonlights at a liquor store is repeatedly stabbed by a mentally ill man. The Troy Fire Department, which also answers EMS calls, emergency medical services, races to the scene. The injured man is so covered in blood that one of his colleagues doesn't recognize him. For almost 400 pages, William Patrick takes readers out on call after call. Men dead of heart attacks. A 500-pound woman collapsed near a small bathroom. A house fire on a cold winter night. The book avoids sensory overload by interspersing action with downtime in the crew's dingy living quarters behind the fire trucks. Patrick lets the firefighters speak for themselves, and by the end of the book, we've gotten to know most of the 11 men in the 1st Platoon at Central Station. Lieutenant Terry Fox says, "There's an edge in this job. It's probably the most socially accepted challenge that's still available. It's only worth living if you can do something worthwhile, you know?" The Troy Fire Department encounters death almost daily in a city with a high population of the elderly and poor. Patrick, a Troy native, includes a short history of Troy's better days when it was a bustling port at the start of the Erie Canal. The crew all want the glamorous fire calls, but 75% of their work is with emergency medical services. Patrick records their griping at the station, but when they're on the job, these tough men are non-judgmental and compassionate. Homeless junkies receive the same care as people in the better parts of town. Patrick includes pages of black and white photos at the beginning of the book. In them, firefighters lean over bodies on the ground, shovel dirt on a brush fire, and take a boat out onto the Hudson River. More photos at the end of the text show each firefighter in action, and I flip to these pages often, trying to match names and faces. The photos in the book are a small fraction of the thousands Patrick shot while with the crew. When Patrick began riding with the Troy Fire Department, he was easily shocked by the poverty and death he witnessed. But after 90 tours of duty as an observer, he built up what he calls emotional calluses, as all the firefighters must do. His last day with the 1st Platoon is busy. On one of the calls, the crew attends to an emaciated 76-year-old woman who has been lying in a hallway for 15 hours, unable to get up. Patrick is unemotional as he searches for the best angle to get a photo. The skeletal woman, covered only partly by a tangled sheet. He snaps the shutter at the moment the grateful woman reaches up to grasp the hand of one of the firefighters. Patrick loses his professional detachment when he imagines his own mother, how it could be her, alone and confused, cold on a hard floor. He writes, "Is transforming difficult human experience into some form of art truly a moral act? In other words, can seeing it and understanding it improve our lives in any important way?" He has no answer, but as a reader, I can say that his years of effort produced a vivid, well-written, thoughtful book. Saving Troy chronicles grim events in a grim city, but I finished the book with a sense of hope. Though the Troy firefighters and rescue personnel don't consider themselves heroes, their daily work is heroic.